Welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Go.
We're here. We know it's been, 2 weeks off?
No, for real.
It's the end of school. We took a couple weeks off for that. Congrats on graduating, Brayden.
Oh,
that's
thank
huge.
You. Man,
how does it feel?
It feels pretty good. A little bittersweet, I guess. Don't know what to do with my life now. I feel like no classes to look forward to or dread. So I'm doing pretty good. You're halfway through your accounting program.
Oh, I knew. I feel like I finished a marathon this year with school, so that's been really nice.
That's right.
Learned a lot of great things.
Yeah.
And then we got a lot to talk about. I feel like coming over to the pod today, we were like, is this going to be like a two-hour episode?
Catch up, yeah.
We promise it's not going to be a two-hour episode, but we're going to try and fit in a lot of things because 3 weeks have gone by. There's a lot to talk about.
That's right.
Especially with our NBA playoffs. And then
a great week of sports. I don't know if you've been watching those playoff games, but
it's so hype.
Got two game sevens coming up.
Yeah.
Got some game sixes. We got some good stuff going on.
Don't forget to check us or find all our past episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube. You can kind of catch some of our end of season jazz things, some needs for the off season. Also, if you catch our March Madness episodes, we definitely talked about some prospects to look out for. We'll do more of that this summer, but we want to go check those out. And this is episode 71 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right, so first things first.
Ooh.
Some people are calling, what is it, May 15th, the most important day in jazz history?
Yeah, May 12th.
May 12th, you're
May 12th.
Right. Is that true to you?
I think so, yeah.
Possibly.
I think this is a deeper draft, but there's no question Cooper Flagg is the best fit for us. So
for any team, honestly.
Yeah.
The Wizards would love him. I'm sure the Hornets would love him.
Yeah. Dylan Harper, I just know, I think we've talked about it before, but him and his family made comments about Utah before. So it just makes me wonder with that. We might have to resort to Ace Bailey or, and we would be hyped, of course, and would support him, but it would be a little disappointing, I think.
Right, and I know he'll play for us, even with the comments, but it is kind of a little rain cloud on Dylan Harper.
A little bit.
But, I mean, we can't drop past five. I know last year the Pistons dropped all the way to five. It can't happen 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah, I hope not. Knock on wood.
And, I mean, it worked out for the Pistons, I guess.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess what we're going to do, we got this Tankathon lottery simulation.
Yep.
We're going to simulate the lottery 10 times and see. We know it's a 14% chance, so we should get at least one number one pick out of these.
Yeah.
But maybe you do five, I'll do five. Let's see what we end up getting.
Yeah.
And I guess with the pick that you get, just say like maybe who you would see the
notable
Jazz picking
spots
there. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go first. So we're simming the lottery. Looks like we fell to four in the lottery.
Oh, dang.
Brooklyn got the number one pick, and then New Orleans and Toronto, which is, those are actually kind of crazy. At the fourth pick, that gets a little murky because that gets outside the Rutger guys.
Yep.
I really like VJ Edgecombe, honestly. I don't know where he's sitting on mock drafts right now, but I like VJ Edgecombe a lot. I just like how athletic he is. He's a bigger wing, so he's not like another point guard that we're adding to the competitive Keontae Isaiah Collier rotation, but I'd probably take VJ Edgecombe at four if we drop there.
Yep. I like it. I like it. I'll go with my lottery. Oh, we end up getting the number one pick.
Let's
so I'm
go.
Taking Cooper Flagg. Okay,
I'll
that's
fetch. I thought you were saying Yegor Dan. I was like,
oh shoot,
I'm
maybe. But the Spurs ended up jumping up to the number two pick in this.
Oh dude. Oh my gosh.
Which is crazy.
Makes me sick.
But yeah, so I guess that's a four and a one. Let's see what we get next.
Okay. Let's see. We got four again. And
maybe is there another guy you'd look at four?
I really like Derek Queen too.
Even with Walker Kessler out there.
Yeah, I question the fit, but I like Derek Queen's skill set a lot. I think it would be an interesting guy. I wonder if he could play the four. He's kind of smaller for an NBA center.
Yeah.
He's a big body though. So he's kind of a little more Kenny Lofton probably, but hopefully a better scorer.
I also like Con Knipple from Duke.
Con Knipple would
be
good.
He's a shooter.
Con Knipple would be good.
He can fit in a lot of places. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, this one has Houston picking third. That would be interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay, so 2-4s and a 1. I'm simming again. We drop all the way to 5.
Ooh, jeez.
It could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. And then Charlotte ends up getting Cooper Flag in this.
Yeah.
I'll just say Con Knipple. If we drop to 5, I think he's definitely a guy that I'd want to see on our team just because of the spacing. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Joe Ingles. Ooh, I don't know if you've seen him on Duke, but he throws these lobs to Malawak all the time.
He's got a smooth jump shot, too.
Yeah, he's got a great shot. And so he reminds me a lot of Joe, just like he can be a pick-and-roll ball handler and a shooter.
Yeah.
And so if we drop to 5, we'll might think about taking
him. That's right. Okay, my third one, Jazz get the second pick.
Okay, that's doable.
I think even though I have questions about Dylan Harper's and wanting to play here, I think he's the pretty easy number two for me. I think
really,
he's a bigger guard. I think he's an NBA starting point guard. He's that caliber of player, so seemed like an easy pick.
I think in last year's draft he probably would have gone number one. Some people argue Ace Bailey might have gone number one last year too. So it's a stacked top three. All right, simulate again. Oh, drop to 5 again.
Oh, man.
Maybe another guy that we could take at 5, if not Knipple. I think we should talk about Trey Johnson from Texas.
Absolutely.
I actually haven't really watched a lot of Trey Johnson, but from what I've heard, he's
for sure top 2 shooting guard in this draft with him and Edgecombe.
Yeah.
He's shown at Texas that he can score very well. He seems like an NBA body. I think as we get close to the draft, I'll look more into him because I don't really know a ton about him yet, but I think Trey Johnson, from what all the mock drafts I've seen, he'd be a guy.
I like that. With my next one, we drop to 5 again. This is not looking good.
Oh.
Hopefully we're getting all the bad vibes out of the
modern. How many times? That's 3 times now?
Yeah.
2-4s and 3-5s?
Yeah. A guy that I would look at, Kasparis Jakachionis, the Illinois guy. The Jazz probably need to tap in a little more to the European. It seems like it's working out around the league, all these European players. So it wouldn't hurt. He's a very big point guard, I guess. He doesn't really seem like a point guard at Illinois to me, but 6'6", 205, just really big, good frame. So I think he'd be a good pick for the Jazz.
Yeah, I've been impressed with him. Okay, I think that's 8, so maybe we each get one more.
Yeah,
is that right?
That was my fourth one, I think.
Oh, I think you went first, so this is my fourth one.
Yeah.
Oh, dropped to 4.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I don't think this would be a guy we'd pick at 4 because we've already kind of talked about Edgecombe, Johnson, Knipple.
If we are going to reach a little bit, I think Jace Richardson from Michigan State.
That's a good one.
He's really good. Tom Izzo said it's one of the best freshmen he's ever had.
Ooh, wow.
Over Michigan State.
He's had a lot of good freshmen over there.
He has. And he just seems like a smart player. He's got an NBA dad.
Hopefully he'll be better than Cody Williams with the NBA relations.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Jace Richardson could be a guy, even though that might be a little bit of a reach at 4.
Yeah. My last one, Jazz got the 3rd pick. I think that's the first time we got the 3rd pick.
Let's go.
So I think Ace Bailey would be the pick there, of course. Interestingly enough, this one has San Antonio picking first. I think that would be the end of my time watching the NBA, honestly. Yeah. Another guy, I was gonna say his name if we got 5th again, but Jeremiah Fears, I think, is an interesting name. I watched him in the tournament. He was impressive. I think he's not slotted. It's just barely outside the top 10 right now, so maybe that would be a later pick option, but kind of interesting.
I like it. Okay, last one.
Last one. Let's go. We need another one.
Oh, drop to 5.
Oh.
The Wizards get number 1.
Jeez.
Well, I feel like we're scraping for players now.
Yeah, that's tough.
I would say there's a guy from, like, France, I think. Nolan Traore.
Yeah, he'd be good.
I would consider him. I know he's kind of fallen on some draft boards as of recent. But I think these foreign guys, although they've fallen on draft boards, I don't think they've gotten any worse.
Yeah.
And so I think if with the Jazz, is if we get the fifth pick or maybe with that Timberwolves pick, I think it's at 21 right now.
Yeah.
One of those foreign guys like Nolan Chiriori could be a good pick.
Yeah. There's some interesting, there's a lot of talent in this draft. I think, yeah, there's a lot of interesting guys to talk about. I think these mock drafts will swing a lot with the combines and interviews, and
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see
workouts
where we land. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen, but our boy Walter Clayton Jr. has been rising up draft boards, yeah, just based off March Madness.
Yeah. Jani Broome was barely a second round pick, even with his player of the year. But after March Madness, I'm seeing him in like some top 20s, top 25s. Interesting. Just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I like Jani Broome a lot.
But we'll see. There is that kind of draft this year where it's like a guy could go 30 or a guy could go 10. And it's kind of like
that's open. True.
But I do think with our top 5 pick, you're pretty sure who you're going to get between. Yeah.
Three.
The top three, you know, and then like maybe 5 to 10, you kind of know the guys that are going to go there.
It's true. I think it's kind of like last year where, like, I remember we were doing an episode around this time of year where we were like looking at mock drafts, and both Kyle Filipowski and Isaiah Collier were like lottery projected guys.
Right.
And look at, we got both these guys basically in the second round. And it's like, so this might be the same type of draft where we're like, Jazz have some later picks. We could like hit on them, you know, if we'd like do our due diligence. So kind of fun.
Well, that also takes us just to some kind of random Jazz news.
Yeah.
I guess we could talk about Will Hardy's press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what you were saying before the episode. It kind of sounds like he's coming back.
Yeah. I listened to his, they used to call him locker cleanouts. I don't think they call him that anymore. But yeah, somebody asked him if there was a bigger job that came, a team that was ready to win, if he would take the job. And he kind of like, he like laughed it off, like very confidently. Like it wasn't like a insecure, I'm going to pretend like I'm not. It was like a, oh no, I'm here to build what we're here to build. Like,
yeah,
I think it's kind of cool. I low key was kind of worried. Obviously, like I made the prediction he was done after this season, cause I thought maybe he'd, that's kind of rough to have on your coaching record these last 3 seasons at that young. But seems like he's here to stay. I like Will Hardy. I think he's low-key the only thing in the way of our tank, and that's kind of a good problem to have, to be honest. So
yeah, he's definitely under the radar with how good of a coach he is.
Absolutely. We're lucky to have him.
It looks like he's under contract through the 26-7 season.
Okay.
So what is
two
that?
More seasons.
Two more.
Next year will be 25-26.
So 2 more years. Hey, sounds good to me. I also think if I'm Will Hardy and I'm looking at, what is it, 3 or 4 coaches that got fired recently, I would also think like those are some open jobs that you could probably take. Yeah. But that being said, around the league, not with the Jazz, coaches drop like flies. Like absolutely. The Lakers have gone through like 4 or 5 coaches. The Bucks have gone through a couple recently. The Suns have gone through a lot. Mm. You just keep seeing the coaches get fired over and over.
Yeah.
I think it must be pretty nice for Will Hardy to know that like we're not going to fire him anytime soon.
Yeah, right.
Like he's got these 2 years at least and maybe more.
Yeah. It really doesn't matter who you are either. Like, oh, I saw a stat that like 4 of the last 5 NBA champion head coaches are not with their team anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's just Joe Mazzulla. Maybe Steve Kerr. I can't. Or maybe there's 2. But anyways, you got Budenholzer. You got Mike Malone. Mm-hmm. You got Frank Vogel's gone. Like, it's just crazy. And then Dwayne Casey.
Yeah.
So it's just like, nobody's safe.
Monty Williams.
Monty Williams. Yeah, that's the other one.
Back in the day.
Yeah. So it's nobody's safe. So I'm sure Will Hardy's glad to have people who stick with him, and we're really lucky to have Will Hardy who's willing to coach through all of this. I'm sure it's not easy coaching a bunch of rookies, but
yeah,
we're glad he's here.
And it's crazy too. A lot of the GMs are getting fired with the coaches.
Yeah.
Just kind of interesting, but
and the GMs who should be getting fired in Dallas, I mean, we're in the NBA are sticking around, so see what happens.
Hey, yeah. The Luka defense did not look good. We'll get
That's
to
true.
That. We'll get
That's
to
true.
That.
Delta Center renovations have started for the summer. I didn't know this, but apparently it's a 3-summer long renovation.
Wow, that's so
long. I thought they were going to knock it out this summer, but I guess it's going to be a little longer. They started like tearing out some of the seats. I watched a video on what they're going to do with the seats this summer. It's pretty cool, actually. They're like making these new retractable seats for like the whole stadium, and then they're going to make a way so that they can raise the hockey ice so that make it easier to see on the top.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of like a revolutionary, like nobody else has done it yet. But so it's kind of cool. And then over the next two summers, they're going to like build other stuff. Like eventually all the seats will be unobstructed, but there will still be some obstructed view seats for hockey, at least this year. So
yeah, I know we went to the one goal view seat game.
Yeah.
It's hard to stay locked in when you can't see the other goal, but
yeah, we had a good time, but our necks were hurting from looking down and looking back
into the Jumbotron. I know, looking at the Jumbotron when they're not there.
Yeah, but
it's still fun to be there.
It's kind of fun. We're also grateful for Ryan Smith willing to do. It's crazy hearing about all these like pro sports team owners who aren't willing to dish out any money. Mm-hmm. And we've got Ryan Smith, who's just like all in on
Utah
sports. Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty sick.
Yeah. I guess 3 years is a lot longer than expected, but yeah, it should be worth it.
Rumor on the street is they're still going to do summer league though. I was worried that they were going to, apparently it's moving to, or there are rumors it's going to move to the Huntsman Center. So kind of cool. I was worried we were going to lose it, but sticking around.
Well, I guess another last thing, as the offseason comes around, the Jazz will be looking to make some trades.
Yep.
I think the big domino is the lottery, right? Once we figure out who we're going to draft, then we're going to kind of start to plan our potential trade packages. But there's this article on Bleacher Report of the top 10, what is this, realistic trade targets in the NBA.
Ooh, okay.
So these are guys that apparently, according to Bleacher Report, could be traded this offseason.
Okay.
So we'll see what you think. I'm going to start with number one and go down to 10.
Okay, that sounds good.
And so let me know for you. You haven't seen these. One, should the Jazz trade for them, yes or no? Okay. And then two, what would you be willing to give up?
All right.
So this one, I don't know if it's realistic, but the number one trade target, Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, I knew that was going to be number one.
Do you think the Jazz should try and get Kevin Durant?
See, I wouldn't hate it. It'd be fun to watch Kevin Durant, even if it was just for a season or two. I don't think that they should, though, because I think his price tag is going to be pretty high. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to end up trading like two or three picks, first round picks probably, still even at his age. So I would say I would hope the Jazz wouldn't reach for him. I would be willing to give up a couple of younger guys, like maybe some... Oh, I don't know. Obviously, we'd need to move the John Collins contract.
Yeah.
Maybe one first or something. I don't know. That's probably as much as I'd be willing.
Well, Phoenix is reported they want three first-round picks and a young player.
I don't...
So, would you... I don't know if you'd give up three first-round picks. I don't think I'd be willing
with that, but...
Yeah, I think the reason why is just we know he's not going to want to play in Utah. He wants to win.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it would make any sense personally. But yeah. I do think he is going to get traded somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe the Rockets. I've heard a lot of people say, hey, maybe the Pistons. Yeah. They could go on a run. Who knows?
I could see him being worth three Rockets picks. I feel like Jazz picks are much more valuable at the current moment.
Yeah.
So
and the Rockets have a lot of young players just sitting on the bench.
That's true. I guess we can give him our Cleveland picks. I don't know. But
just please don't go to San Antonio.
Oh, man, Kevin. That'd be so bad. Yeah.
Okay, next on the list, Domantas Sabonis.
Oh.
Kings are kind of rebuilding, so they could be thinking about moving on from him.
I like Sabonis. That's interesting. Low-key, I'd be willing to give up Walker Kessler.
Really?
For Sabonis. There's not many players I'd be willing to give up Walker Kessler for.
Sabonis has still got a lot of years left, too, I feel like. And he's such a good guy, double-double machine.
Yeah, he's a decent scorer. And
he can shoot the three better than Kessler. But defensively, not as good as Kessler. That's the only thing they really got on him.
Yeah, I almost think you'd have to trade Kessler, not because the Kings would want him. That would just be a weird rotation.
Right.
Or Markkanen, but I don't think he's worth Markkanen. Well, maybe. I don't know. I'd be totally down for Sabonis. I don't even know what that
would
package
would be willing
would
to
like.
Trade Markkanen for him too, like Kessler Markkanen package.
Both. I don't know. Maybe if you throw Kevin Herter in, I don't know.
I also think there's a chance that Sabonis might like request a trade.
Yeah.
Where in that case we could probably give up less,
get a little more. Yeah.
So I think you just keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
And I think he would be a great fit anywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
But we would probably give up Kessler.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, number three, Trae Young.
Ooh,
should the Jazz trade for Trae Young?
I think it's a hard pass for me. I actually like Trae. I like watching Trae Young play a lot. Not a lot of defense. I don't think you could ever build a winning team around Trae Young. And I don't think you could really pair him with many stars. So it would just be a tough guy to build.
I would argue the Hawks this year was about as good of a team around Trae Young as you could do.
Yeah.
And they were average again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, they could use a little bit more star power, but if you're going to get Trae Young, you need a lot of big defenders. The Jazz don't have those right now.
No.
And so I'm with you. I don't think we're built to bring in Trae Young.
No, yeah.
Okay. Next, number four, Zion Williamson apparently is in trade talks. Ooh. Could be a realistic target.
I've heard a lot of Jazz fans talking about this one. I would actually be down. I still like Zion a lot. My hope would be that maybe the New Orleans is just a bad fit for him. Maybe it's just all that Cajun food or something. I don't know. I'd be willing to give up quite a bit too, honestly, for Zion.
Really? Three first round picks?
Not this year's first round pick.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to send over some of those Minnesota Cleveland picks, honestly.
Yeah, those might not be as valuable.
Pick swaps, yeah. You'd probably also, again, have to get rid of John Collins, because that's still a pretty big contract.
Maybe Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson, yeah.
Maybe one young player.
Yeah, maybe like a Taylor Hendricks or a... I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah.
Maybe they're still believing in Cody Williams. Probably not. But we'll send him. Maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. Would you want Zion Williamson?
I just don't know about the fit with Markkanen.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I know Zion's not really a shooter. He kind of needs the ball in his hands to overpower people. But I still think it could work if Markkanen, because Markkanen's great off ball, and he can play the three or the four.
Yeah.
Whatever you really need. So. I don't know. It's tough. I'd probably pass just because I'm a little bit worried about the injuries, and I just don't know if I want to take on not knowing if my player is going to play more than 40 games a year.
Yeah, it would get a little messy too if we got the number one pick, and then we have Cooper Flagg, Markkanen, and Williamson, and Kessler. It's like, what do we do with all four of those guys?
Yeah, no. If we get Flagg, definitely
none of those guys are coming off the bench, and yeah, that would be a little weird, but. Kind of interesting.
Okay, this one controversial to me. LaMelo Ball on the Hornets, because he could be a potential trade.
I like LaMelo Ball. I kind of see him in the same light as Trae Young, to be honest. I think he'd probably be a little bit more valuable. I think he could build a winning team around LaMelo, but the injuries just... I don't know if I would trade that much for LaMelo Ball, to be honest.
I agree. I think LaMelo Ball is also not really like his personality, his aura, all that. Yeah. It doesn't really fit the Jazz, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know if Will Hardy and him will probably get in some big arguments throughout the season. I don't think he's a Danny Ainge guy.
Yeah.
That being said, if we ended up with Cooper Flagg and LaMelo Ball, we'd go places.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I'd pass. Just because I don't think he really fits the Utah vibe.
Yeah, if the first time LeVar comes after Danny Ainge, that would be quite the clash, I will say.
Right. Okay, yeah. On back half, this is not a Jazz target because number six on the list is actually Lauri Markkanen.
Oh, really?
So.
How realistic do you think it is that he gets traded ever?
Ooh, it depends on if we do get Flag, I think he's totally on the market.
Absolutely.
Because they play a similar position.
Absolutely.
That being said, I don't think the Jazz should be shopping him too much, but I think we should listen to all the offers that come in.
Yeah.
I think it was good on us to not trade him to the Warriors last season, because if they weren't willing to give up Podziemski, I don't think the package was going to be very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think he could totally be traded this offseason. It may be like a 50% chance.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I could see it. I think he's worth less this summer than he was last summer. Yeah, I think it gets a little weird trying to build around him. If you've listened in the past, you probably know I wasn't a fan of the max contract given to him. I think we probably overpaid a little bit. I'd be willing to trade him for the right price. In Justin Zanuck's interview, he brought up the big game hunting phrase again, which we haven't heard in a little while, I feel like. So I don't know, maybe the Jazz would package him to get somebody real nice.
And then I guess next on the list, number 7 trade target, Cam Johnson from the Nets. Very realistic, because I think the Nets are probably going to move on from him just to get some value.
I think he'd be a decent fit with the Jazz. He kind of plays the 3-4 spot.
Sharpshooter.
Which is, I feel like, is where we need the most help right now. We kind of thought Cody Williams was going to be that guy. He hasn't been. I wouldn't mind that. I don't think you'd have to give up as much for Cam Johnson. I think you could probably get away with some picks and maybe, like,
just John Collins and Clarkson or something like that.
Yeah, you probably could get away with that. Would you ever consider trading Colin Sexton for a guy like that?
Totally.
Yeah, I think that might be interesting.
Colin Sexton's just as talented.
I think so.
But Cam Johnson might be a better fit on our team just because we're starting to get loaded on the point guard position.
Yeah.
Colin Sexton's arguably our best point guard on the roster.
I agree.
But it's hard when he's not the youngest and trying to figure out where everybody fits with the guards. Yeah. We've got like 4 of them now.
That's true. Yeah, it gets weird. I keep trying to think of guys we could trade. And I feel like Collier and Keontae are safe, but maybe not. I guess if the right deal came, probably not for Cam Johnson, but yeah.
Yeah, for some of those other guys, maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Okay, I'd say that's probably the most realistic one so far, my opinion. Staying on the Brooklyn Nets, Nick Claxton. Do you think the Jazz should trade for him?
That seems like a downgrade from Walker Kessler to me.
I agree, so I would say no.
Yeah, if we absolutely had to trade Walker Kessler, like if we had got a bigger deal for him somewhere else, maybe we could entertain Nick Claxton. I don't think that'd be a bad fit necessarily, but with Walker Kessler, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then these last two guys are also not as good, but Jabari Smith Jr. from the Rockets. What do you think about him?
I like Jabari Smith Jr. a lot, but
I don't think we're the fit for him.
I don't think we're the
fit
for him.
But I do think I would like to see him on another team.
Yeah. I don't think we're a good fit either.
And then the last guy, we're not getting this guy, Mark Williams, also a downgrade from Walker Kessler. Yeah. But I also want to throw in another guy just because we talked about it earlier. What do you think about Damian Lillard? Guy's got an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
If the Bucks decide they want to open up their team to trading, do you think the Jazz could entertain a Lillard trade?
Well, an ACL at 34 is pretty...
Or Achilles.
Achilles, sorry.
Still bad.
At 34 is not great. But I would be willing to entertain it, I'd say. I don't know what...
Is there anyone you wouldn't trade for Lillard?
Probably not Kessler.
Yeah.
Probably not either of our... Well, I was going to say not Collier or Keontae, but I guess if you're going to bring Damon, you probably have to...
Trade one of them. Would you...
I don't know.
I'd trade Markkanen for him if... We got Flag. If we didn't get Flag, I don't think I'd trade Markkanen for him. That kind of is my opinion there.
I'd probably, at max, picks-wise, I'd probably be willing to give up one first-round pick for Dame at this point. That's just a big contract to take on. Jazz have the money to pay Dame, though, or to take on his contract.
Right. I just think we've been talking about Dame in past years because he played at Weber State.
Yeah.
I think he would actually be one of the few stars in the NBA that would want to play in Utah.
That's true, yeah.
Thing is, you're right, he's 34, 35. It's getting kind of old, so we don't know how many years left he has, especially with that big of an injury.
Yeah.
And we don't know if he's going to be enough to really take us to the promised land.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would entertain it if we got Cooper Flagg and we want to make a run.
That's true.
But if not, I think we should just hold on to what we have and keep building.
Yeah. What about even bigger than that? Giannis doesn't seem to be very happy right now. obviously that's like a crazy out there trade.
I don't think the Bucks are gonna trade him.
You don't think? I wouldn't be surprised if he asks out pretty soon, but in the chance he does, are you giving up the whole Jazz roster for Giannis?
Dude, I'm giving up everything for him. He's yeah, so good. I would give up everything.
I'm taking the reins off of any guy on the roster to trade for Giannis. Yep. Honestly, we'll give him every pick we have. We'll trade Danny Ainge.
Dude, if we got Giannis, I would also buy like double the amount of tickets to games if we had him, because that would be so fun to watch.
That'd be so hard.
Yeah, but realistically, I don't think he's getting traded.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he likes Milwaukee. If anything, he'll probably run it back one more year.
Yeah. It's just interesting. Because a couple seasons ago was when he was making comments about like how everybody kind of needed to lock in Milwaukee, and he kind of hinted at like maybe I need to look somewhere else if this isn't working kind of thing. And then his press conference after this last series just didn't seem very happy. But I think you're right though. He's a very loyal guy too. So it's hard to imagine him asking out or, you know, trying to get to New York or LA like everybody's saying, but I can't imagine that he can just that things can stay this way forever in Milwaukee and he stays, but kind of interesting.
Yeah, they definitely need to rebuild the roster around him.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
So I'd say to review, it sounds like we should be looking at Domantas Sabonis on the Kings.
Yeah.
Review that. I would argue also LaVine couldn't be a bad idea.
Levine's not bad.
So look at the Kings roster. I think Cam Johnson also would be a good idea.
Yeah.
And kind of go from there with our pick.
Absolutely. Well, NBA playoffs are...
I've been waiting all week to talk about this.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to like preview our first round because of our little break with finals. But that's kind of been a crazy first round, I feel like. Where should we start? Is there any series that stick out to you that we...
Let's just say, I know we don't have any Jazz games this week, but player of the week is Rudy Gobert.
Oh, dude, yes.
Our boy Gobert, he's still got that Jazz vibe to him. He's been playing so well. Did you see that game where he like popped off?
I did, yeah.
That was insane.
Honestly, I'm just so happy for him because like the stupid narrative of like Rudy Gobert getting played off the floor in the playoffs, and it's like,
yeah,
and he totally exploited a matchup the other night, which was like for some reason JJ Redick was just like decided they were gonna let Rudy Gobert pop off because they didn't play Jackson Hayes at all. Maxi Kleber was the only big guy
hadn't played in months.
It's like that was just really bad coaching. But yeah, Gobert, he was like 25, 24 and a couple blocks, right? It was insane, dude. It was a career game. I think that was a Wolves franchise playoff rebound record is what I saw, which is pretty cool.
I think it was 25 rebounds and 27 points.
Okay, that's what it was.
It was pretty insane.
Pretty close, yeah.
And I would also add that kind of just felt good, not because of the narratives about Gobert, but also because it was Luka specifically. Because I know last year people say, oh, the Rudy Gobert series, the one where he gets the buzzer beater over Luka, or you could talk about the Rudy Gobert series being the one where Jazz Terrence Mann went off and Rudy Gobert got exposed, or when we played the Rockets, Rudy Gobert got exposed sometimes.
Yeah.
But now you can talk about the Rudy Gobert series as them beating Luka and the Lakers.
Who won that game?
And him going off. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And before this game, I don't think he was doing great. He was doing his role. Naz Reid was playing a lot of minutes to close out the games.
Yeah.
But just to end off with a 27-point game for Rudy Gobert is something special.
Yeah.
Makes me feel good as a still Rudy Gobert fan.
Yeah. I think this just goes to show that Rudy Gobert is special when he has the right coaching. Like, I agree with you. He didn't play great the rest of the series, but I don't think he played bad. Like he
did his role.
Yeah, and the coach was smart enough in the end of game situations to not leave him in bad situations. Like Quinn Snyder wasn't very good at that, and they weren't good at that last year. So, anyways, it's
just different. I think with Naz Reid, they have an option where Naz Reid can actually kind of hold his own out there.
Yeah,
not saying Gobert can't, but I think it's a better matchup.
Absolutely.
So they can kind of pick their poison. Some games they want the interior D of Gobert. Sometimes they want the perimeter D that Nas can give him. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that was,
honestly, one of my favorite series, just as a Gobert fan and as kind of seeing the Lakers lose felt good too.
Yeah. Low-key though, I feel like this series is a really good series. All these games were close, came down to the last couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it ended in six, Lakers got gentlemen swept, I guess.
Five,
yes, I meant. I think it was a good series. It was, I don't know, what are the odds you think this is the last time we ever see LeBron hit the floor?
Oof, I think he's going to come back next year.
You think
but
so?
One or two seasons, I think he's done.
Yeah.
But the last 2 years, he's lost in the first round.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
I saw a Bleacher Report article that maybe he was weighing an exit with the Lakers. I'd be really surprised.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
Maybe he gets back to Cleveland again. I don't know. That would be the only team I could see him going to.
Goes to the Warriors.
I guess, yeah.
That would be dumb.
That would be interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I think you're right. He would probably have another season. Might as well wait for Bryce, right? I'm just kidding.
And I mean, now that Luke is there, he probably has a reduced role, so that's he can true. Kind of
true.
Do a little less.
I still think Lakers are one or two pieces away from being pretty competitive. I just think the center thing
they
is
just
really...
weren't ready for Luka.
Yeah.
No, I think they get an off season, they actually build a team for Luka, they'll be better.
This series showed why you needed Anthony Davis. But
yeah, or just any center.
Yeah.
You need height.
Anybody. Yeah.
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 What's been, I guess maybe that could be your favorite series, but what's been like your favorite series?
Oh, dude, I think it's got to be the Clippers Nuggets series.
Really?
That series has been, I low-key thought Denver was going to close it out the other night, but we're at game seven. Game seven will be tonight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, Jokic is, he's fighting for his life in this series. Yeah, it's a crazy one.
I've loved it. It's so evenly matched, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've noticed, Zubac is just playing one-on-one on Jokic most of the time. And he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, he's blocking Jokic shots, which no one does usually. Nope. He's actually playing good D.
Yeah.
And then I'd argue the best part of the series for me is seeing Kawhi back at his full form.
Yeah, he's back.
He's putting up 25-point games like it's nothing. And I don't know if you saw that first game, but he didn't miss a shot for like three quarters. Or like he was like 10 for 11 or something.
He's
it was
so
pretty
special.
Good.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, man. And Harden, I think Harden's going to face some issues as playoffs go on. He's just older. I think we saw last year? Maybe not.
On the Sixers, he did have one good game and then kind of tapered off.
So it's just Jamal Murray had a really big game. He had like a 40-something point game in game, I think it was 5-4, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it's just been a fun series. I honestly don't know how the Nuggets are in this series. They don't have any bench. Like, and Westbrook's just so funny because there's sometimes when he's like, you're like, dang, this guy's like really controlling the game right now. And other times when he's missing open shots at the end of the game. And oh man, it's been a fun series though.
Yeah, I've loved it. Game seven tonight, be a good game to watch.
Yeah.
And then I guess we have another game seven because the Rockets forced one last night. I've also loved this series too. I think this is the series where you start to see Amen Thompson for who he is as a great defender, good athletic freak.
Yeah.
Do you think the Rockets had a chance? I know a lot of people kind of ruled them out after they lost game one.
Yeah, they were down 3-1 too.
You're right.
That'd be pretty impressive if they came back. I think Golden State's just looking more and more injured by the game. Like Steph had like a swollen finger.
Yeah, he's been dealing with that.
Jimmy had like the tailbone injury that was pretty bad. But this has just been such a scrappy series. Like, I feel like, I mean, you would expect that Dylan Brooks versus Draymond Green, I guess. But
Steven Adams.
Yeah, Steven Adams, yeah. And then you got, like, the Warriors rookies, like, picking fights and against Shangoon. And this has been a fun series, too. I'll tell you what, I'm really liking the Rockets, what they're building over there.
Mm-hmm.
Seems, like, really special.
They're deep, too.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to me like they have a guy. It's just a group of guys who can play together really well. Like, it doesn't seem to me like Jalen Green is really like their guy.
He had one big game and then it's kind of been, honestly, Fred VanVleet's been their guy on a couple of nights.
Last night he played really well.
Last night he helped them.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a good game seven.
Absolutely.
I think if the Warriors are going to win, I think they need a big Jimmy Butler game.
Absolutely.
Especially for Game 7.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the other West Series, I don't know if there's much to talk about. OKC.
Yeah.
Kept them swept.
They swept pretty quick. John Morant got hurt, too. So, man, tough for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with the Cavs, too. The Heat just got destroyed.
Yeah.
I think Eric Spoelstra was just embarrassed. Like, yeah, this is probably the worst series we've had.
Yeah. Cleveland played really well. I'm excited to see them play the... they're playing Indiana, right? Next series, I think.
Yeah, Indiana.
So I think that'll be a little closer, maybe. I still think Cleveland wins that series, though.
Right. They looked really good in that first round.
Yeah.
And then we already kind of talked a little bit about Dame with the Bucks. Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah,
kind of hard. I also think that, what was it, game 5? They went into overtime. The Bucks should have won that.
Yeah.
They were up like 7 with a couple minutes left in overtime and just decided that we're not going to guard Tyrese Halliburton and we're just going to let him run right around us to the rim.
Yeah.
That was bad. And then shout out to Gary Trent Jr. He put everything out on the court that he had. He had a 37-point game to give them their one win. And then I think that game 5, even though they lost, he had a really good game. So shout out to him. He's probably going to get paid if he's coming up for contracts.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think my favorite series in the East, though, Knicks Pistons.
Yeah.
That was a good series. Yeah,
I think that was
I wasn't expecting easily. That to be as good of a series as it was, but Pistons are building something nice too. We were kind of talking about it on the way over here, but the Thompson twins are just special, dude.
Yeah, talk about Amen. Now talk about Asar.
Asar, dude, yeah. Both of these guys are like all defensive guys in my mind. Like, you just watch them, they're locked down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're decent scorers. Probably not, like, they don't move the needle too much on offense, but that was pretty crazy watching them play.
And Amen's got a jump shot.
Yeah.
I know Asar is working on his, but they could get some offense.
Absolutely.
I'd say, and then I don't know if you saw Jalen Brunson after the series was over, said Asar Thompson made me work more than anyone else has to score.
Yeah.
So he gave some props to the young buck.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the great series there. I think the Pistons low-key got robbed from that. That you remember that 3 at the end of the game?
Yeah.
He totally got bumped in the body.
I agree.
So I think this should have gone to 7, but it was still a really great series to see. Really close.
Absolutely. I think Pistons have a bright future, I hope, at least.
Yeah, what's next for the Pistons, do you think?
Well, I think Cade needs to make another jump. He made a pretty big jump this year to being... He was an all-star this year, right? Cade was?
Yeah, he might be all NBA.
Yeah, I think he needs to make just another jump. Also, I don't know. They just have to be really careful who they add this offseason. I think they made some really good ads last offseason with like Malik Beasley and
Tobias Harris.
Those guys just
Dennis
like
Schroeder.
Yeah, they came in and they were like glue guys instantly almost. And Malik Beasley just like came alive and has been playing amazing this year. So I think you just got to be careful. I feel like the Pistons in the past have gotten a little greedy with like when they added Blake Griffin. It was just like a little unnecessary. Felt like it just changed the course of what they were building. So
I think the big jump for Cade is just IQ and not turning the ball over.
Absolutely.
And that goes for some of the Jazz players too, with Keontae and Collier. But there's just some guys in the league, like, you can tell they know where to pass the ball.
Absolutely.
They have that IQ, they have that playmaking. Cade does have that, but there's been a lot of times in that series where he'd turn the ball over or make a bad decision that really kind of made the difference in them winning or losing some of those games. So I think that's one of the big things there.
Absolutely. Because
your offense is going to run through Cade a lot of the time.
Absolutely. I think the second round matchup I'm most excited about is this Knicks-Celtics game. Celtics.
Ooh.
I actually thought the Magic put up a pretty decent fight for a 7 seed, but it was the Celtics, so it was running into a buzzsaw, but Paolo played pretty decent, I guess. But I'm excited to see the Knicks-Celtics. I think that's going to be a really good series. I think that one could go 7, low-key.
Yeah, I think the Knicks did show that they can go stretches without scoring.
Yeah.
In that Pistons game, because Pistons kind of just decided to shut them down.
Yeah.
And so I think if the Pistons are shutting you down, surely the Celtics will be able to shut you down too.
That's
They've
true.
Got great defense over there. So
that's true.
The thing I'm worried about the most is, can the Knicks not have like a 5-minute scoring drought in a game, because we've seen a lot of those from them.
That's super true. Yeah, and there's just some interesting matchups in that series, because you got, of course, you got Drew Holiday on Jalen, which is already tough.
And Derek White. Right?
But then on the other side, you got OG and Mikal Bridges. I'm not saying they're going to lock down Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, but that's a tough matchup defensively.
Yeah.
Those are not guys that you can just easily get by, so it's interesting. And I don't know what Porzingis' health is like, but Kat's playing pretty good. So
yeah. Al Horford going to be able to keep up with Kat? I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. That'll be fun.
We've seen him do it before, but that'll be a good series. Yeah. And then I guess we could talk about just our predictions. I know we've predicted already.
Yeah.
But maybe let's just talk about finals teams and who do you think will win. Has any of your predictions changed?
Well, I think I feel pretty confident about my Thunder pick. Me too. Because we forget that Grizzlies team, I don't think they were good at all, but they almost beat the Warriors in the play-in. Like, they were like a couple buckets, like a bucket away from beating them in the play-in. And now we're talking about the Warriors maybe moving to the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that that's a terrible team that they beat in Memphis. Just a bad time team. In the East, I don't even remember who I picked.
I think you said Celtics.
Did I? I still feel pretty good about that, but I feel a little less confident about it, I guess. But what are you feeling?
I don't think any of my picks have changed. I'm saying the Thunder win at all, and I think the Cavs win the East.
The Cavs, yeah.
The Cavs have looked so good. Like,
yeah, they did.
They make a lot of threes. They're one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah.
They kind of rolled the Heat in a way that I didn't even think they would do. I thought the Heat would get at least one. They didn't. So if anything, I feel a little bit more confident in my Cavs pick, but we'll see how that goes.
That's true. Yeah, I think in the East it's going to be Cavs or Celtics. That's going to be a fun Eastern Conference Finals, because I think that's what it's going to be. That's going to be that's going to be fireworks.
Yeah, that's going to low key be the NBA Finals before the NBA Finals.
Yeah, and if it gets to, I don't know. I think it'll be Thunder. Who do you think will meet Thunder up in the West?
Dude, the Timberwolves. I think it's going to be them.
I think so too.
They've just looked really good.
I think it's best for the Timberwolves if they want to get there to get the Warriors, because I think the Warriors are just going to continue to get beat down health-wise.
Yeah.
Rockets will be like a team that'll wear you out a little bit, but yeah, that'll be fun. This is an exciting playoffs. I feel like they've been competitive, even though some of these series don't look like it numbers-wise, but
it's
been fun.
Okay, and then just, I don't think there's much to say about this, but we got some awards given out. We'll talk about all of our predictions that we gave for these when we get the last couple.
Yeah.
But Brunson won Clutch Player, Stephon Castle, Rookie of the Year. I think those two make sense.
Yep.
Dyson Daniels won MIP.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone predicted that.
No.
I low-key think it should have been Zubac, but I think Daniels is very deserving. He had a great season.
Absolutely.
Evan Mobley, Defensive Player of the Year, and Peyton Pritchard, Sixth Man.
Yeah,
either of those surprise you?
Peyton Pritchard, it doesn't surprise me. It probably wouldn't have been my pick, Peyton Pritchard. I thought a guy like Lou Dort was my pick. I like Lou Dort a lot. I thought he deserved it, but
Malik Beasley, too.
Malik Beasley,
I think he was top three.
Yeah, but I don't hate it. Pritchard, he probably deserves it. Mobley, I'm happy somebody else other than Draymond Green won it. I kept seeing he was the favorite, and I was... Mobley just deserves it with how their team's
playing. Yeah, they're so good.
The best, probably best defense in the NBA. So
he kind of stole it from Wemby, low-key.
Yeah. I think Wemby was ineligible, right?
Yeah, he got hurt too many games.
Yeah, Wemby would have been... Honestly, if Wemby stays healthy for any stretch of the next 5-10 years, he might have 5 or 10 defensive player of the year.
Because
he's just insane. But, yeah.
Yeah, and then I guess, who do you think's going to win the Coach of the Year, MVP? Those are the last two.
Well, I don't think you can have a season like you're having and not win at least one award if you're the Thunder. So I think Jokic deserves MVP, but I think Dagnall will get the Coach of the Year. That's my prediction.
Yeah, you've said it before. I think Shea's going to win the MVP, but I think Jokic deserves the MVP.
I think you're right,
I think... Every media seems to be leaning towards Shea, so I think it's probably going to end up being him.
It's all a narrative, unfortunately.
Right. And then I think for Coach of the Year, if Shea wins MVP, maybe you give the Coach of the Year to JB Bickerstaff or what's the Rockets coach?
Ime Udoka.
Ime Udoka. Probably Udoka, honestly.
Yeah, the final. Yeah, those are the three finalists. Oh, wait, actually, I didn't realize, but Dagnall's not a finalist.
Oh, really?
Kenny Atkinson.
Oh, okay. Cleveland. So it can't be him.
The Cavs coach.
That's honestly, it's hard to pick between those three
coaches.
That's
interesting. I wonder why he's not a finalist. He has the best record in the NBA.
I mean, they were good last year, too.
That's true.
So it's not like they...
That's true.
I think for Coach of the Year, they value a lot of just coming in, changing things from year
low-key
to year.
Low-key knowing that, though, looking at what the Pistons came from last year, it's hard. I think JD Bickerstaff might be my pick, honestly, with how bad they were last year. Yeah. Interesting.
I think... That's never been done where you've doubled your win percentage.
Insane.
So maybe JB Bickerstaff and Shea and Jokic probably deserves it.
Yeah, could agree with that. Kind of a sad, maybe happy, I don't know. Just we kind of saw it coming. Greg Popovich steps down as the head coach of the Spurs, but I think he's going to be team president or something, so I saw.
Yeah, smaller role.
I think it's... my theory is that we... We're not let in on how probably severe that stroke was that he had, I mean, would be my guess. Because it'd probably be hard to keep Greg Popovich off the bench. If he could coach, I'm sure he would. Yeah. So prayers up for him. Hopefully his recovery's going okay.
Yeah, I think what I heard Shams say was Popovich wants to coach, but he just feels like at this point in his life and his health that he... doesn't he probably can't do it anymore, which is so sad.
That's a hard decision to make too.
I guess I just want to give Greg Popovich his props.
I'm
gonna tell you his resume. Are you ready for this?
So be ready, this might be 20 minutes low-key.
Let me see if I can find a good website here. Okay, this is Greg Popovich on Basketball Reference.
Okay,
5 championships. I think he has the highest win percentage of any coach ever, which is insane. I think it's like 70% or 66%.
That's wild.
I think he's coached USA basketball a number of times.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't really think there's really much else you can say. He's just, I think he has the most wins of any coach ever. Like, he probably has like all the important records that you'd want as a coach.
Yeah.
And not to mention... I think 29 years of coaching, absolutely crazy longevity. There's no doubt in my mind he's the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the thing that stands out to me most about his career is his how good of a talent evaluator he is. Like, of course it was an easy pick to take Tim Duncan, but like to draft Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. And then all throughout the way, adding guys like Boris Diaw played such a big role, and the Thiago Splitter and Danny Green. All these guys who were just kind of like didn't really fit in the league. And then they get to Greg Popovich's system and they turn into these special players. Even Kawhi Leonard was not like the Kawhi Leonard we know now until he got to.
Mm-hmm.
And so just incredible. He just had his 4th rookie of the year. With Stephon Castle, just hopefully Will Hardy has taken some notes of Greg Popovich's career because it's a pretty amazing.
Okay, here's another stat.
Okay.
He's got a 14-22-867 record, winningest coach in NBA history by 90 games.
Insane.
Higher than, I guess, Don Nelson's number 2. He played for a long, he coached for a long time. So just crazy.
I remember 4 or 5 years ago when he passed Jerry Sloan. It was like... Because like Jerry Sloan is at like top 3, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane, dude.
Yeah, so we'll miss you, Greg. But he'll still be around the Spurs, I guess, just not in the same role.
Yeah, and you think about it. Today's NBA, I think the longest reigning head coach in the NBA right now is probably Eric Spoelstra. So that just
Doc Rivers too.
That's true.
He's up there,
but he's not with like the same team.
Oh yeah, same team.
But like to stick around with your team for. As long as he did, what is it? Almost 30
29 years.
29 years, yeah. That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it doesn't really happen anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Well, good news, or maybe not, depending on what your opinion is on the Utah Hockey Club. somebody noticed the other night the Utah Hockey Club changed their YouTube name.
I love that that's how the way we find out.
I know. Who's paying attention to these things too? I don't even know. I don't go check team YouTube names, but apparently they changed it the other day to the Utah Mammoth. It probably was a mistake because they switched it back pretty quickly, apparently, after people noticed. I don't know, though. So that's...
No official announcement, yeah, right?
No official. I kind of wish they would. I feel like it's kind of silly at this point. Like, just tell us the name, like, but I get it, but... Hopefully we'll know soon.
So I guess we'll start calling them the Utah Mammoth because we got the inside scoop here.
That's right. Yeah. On top of that, the Smith Entertainment Group, Brian Smith's just bought, or they were approved to buy the Salt Palace.
Mm.
So rumor is they're going to renovate all that to be a sports and cultural complex is what they called it.
Dude, that'd be sick.
That'd be super cool. It's like right across the street. You could just have like a walkway from the mall, and I think that'd be pretty sick. So,
yeah, when I was in Green Bay, they had a building across the street from Lambeau that was kind of similar.
Oh, really?
They had all these trophy statues, ooh, giant rings. They had like a mini football field where you could run like a 40-yard dash or play a game.
That's hype.
So. I don't know where they're going to go with this, but I think it could be pretty fun.
I think so, too.
Somewhere you could take your family.
Yeah. Especially, like, before the Olympics come, too. Like, you'd want to get all that done. You know, Temple Square will be done probably in the next couple of years, and you get that done. Like, it'd be cool to have the whole world come and see what we built in Salt Lake.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be pretty sick. So, well, we appreciate you joining us on our episode today. We know we went a little longer. I guess not too long, but... We always appreciate you spending your time listening to us. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, where we get your podcasts, and check out some of the end of the season episodes we had. And hope you take care. Peace.